Hello guys, thank you very much for tuning in once again for the second episode of not only this year but also season 2 of the Infernal Symphony Pestilence podcast with me, your host and band leader, Demonic Bishop of course the band Infernal Symphony from the UK. Thank you so much guys, the response to the last episode and the first episode of season 2 was absolutely phenomenal. Just exactly what I expected from you guys, to be honest. I had absolutely no doubts that you'd pull through for me because you always do. We've got an absolutely cracking show lined up for you today, so without any further ado, or without any wasting any of time, stay tuned and we're going to go over some of this week's topics. Alright then guys, so thank you ever so much to those of you who have come back to watch this, or rather listen to this podcast for the second month in a row now. It was quite unlikely that I would do this again, to be honest, as I said before. I'm still quite amazed, if I'm being brutally honest with myself, that I'm actually creating these podcast episodes again. I can't lie to myself, though. I did really enjoy it the first time round. And I think part of the reason, again, which has brought me back to this, is just purely because of the sheer love and, you know, the support that all of you guys and all of the Infernal Symphony fans out there give to me. So, firstly, massive, massive round of applause and thanks to all of you. We've got quite a few interesting things to cover this month, actually. A few of them is basically going to be sort of rounding off and sort of going back over a couple of little bits and bobs which I seem to have missed from the first episode of the season. Namely, some of the bands that I mentioned and some of the sort of updates and developments which I did go over towards the tail end of episode one. Basically, because it was getting towards the end of the episode, it was quite a challenge to kind of cram everything in and bear it all in mind. So obviously, you know, naturally a few things are going to, you know, get missed from time to time. But I'm going to be covering those a little bit later on. I also thought it would be quite interesting to go into some of the exciting, most newest things about Infernal Symphony and its music. Namely, the vocals, which I did touch on the last episode as well. So I'm going to be basically be talking about some of not only my inspirations behind the vocals and the vocal styles that I do, but also the reason why it's now finally time to bring vocals into Infernal Symphony's music and what it means for the future of the band. So that's going to be, potentially the main talking point today. A few other things we're going to go over is some unfortunate news in the metal world, which you've probably no doubt already heard of, but I'm going to give my quick little hot takes on those, and we'll see what else we have in store. But I'm trying to figure out where the best place to start is this time, really. So I would say probably the first thing to go over is the fact that Infernal Symphony has now reached the goalpost mark of 7,000 total plays on Bandcamp, which is absolutely a fantastic lifetime achievement so far, considering the band's been around for less than 5 years. It really is stunning to me that over 7,000 individual plays has accrued from various different people and places all over the world, everywhere from the Ukraine to South America to Africa. Literally, Infernal Symphony is officially now a global, I'm not going to say brand, but definitely a global band. So that is absolutely, truly astonishing to me. When I think about the early days of me just starting to just piss about with a guitar in my bedroom when I was about 22, 23 years old, trying to figure out how to make a really, really awful piece of software called Riffworks, try and figure out how that worked and how to, you know, create music and figure out how to record it without horrible tinniness, which unfortunately never actually happened, which resulted in them all having that on there until about 2 years ago. It really does blow my mind that, you know, a young adult such as myself, just messing around and just trying his best to lay all his passions, thoughts and, techniques out on the open there, and display them all for the world to see. For that to be embraced as strongly as it has been, not even discounting all of the, the financial sales and all of the good press and all of the positive response from fans and critics alike that the band has accrued over the past 3 or 4 years. You know, it's quite a short time for a band to be around, and obviously we're not Metallica or anything like that, but, you know, and I never would want to be either. But, you know, I am extremely humble and appreciative of the modest success that we have experienced as a band up until now. And I just wanted you guys to be yet again aware of just how much I truly do appreciate that. So it's fantastic to see. So, yeah, so the band has accrued 7,000 plays in total over its lifetime on Bandcamp. We've also had some record viewing members on Twitch recently as well, which I'll be going into the Twitch channel a little bit more in depth again on this episode, again, because that's something else that I did briefly bring up last time around as well. So you can think of this episode as a bit more of a supplementary episode, really, in terms of, you know, kind of going into a little bit more of the nitty-gritty detail over some of the topics which were initially brought up this time last month. So before we do any of that, I'll do a quick little segue so I can give myself a chance to have a bit of a coffee and a breather, and we'll see where we go from there. Okay then, guys, so basically this section of the podcast has actually been recorded after the main bulk of the rest of the podcast has already been recorded. And primarily, the reason being is because there were some very, very important additions which need to be added into this episode somewhere. And basically, this was the only real place I could find to actually do that. A couple of important things have happened in the few hours immediately after the recording of this, which I felt I just needed to include. And there's also a couple of omissions I've noticed as well, which need to be gone over as well. So primarily, the main thing I wanted to say is that basically there are a couple of additional things which add on to the end of the episode regarding namely some of the metal musician deaths and some of the bad news in the metal community that we've suffered this month. There has been a hell of a lot of prominent members of different metal bands which have died in the month of July, which has been an absolute awful thing. It always is, but particularly when there's quite a few different, you know, people die in a short space of one another, it really is. It sort of magnifies the weight of the events that have happened. So. So sorry to start the episode off on a bit of a downer, and there will be more of this later on. But I just thought I should mention, obviously, of course, we've already had the deaths of Joey Jordison, the drummer for Slipknot, and Mike Howe, the vocalist of Metal Church. And then literally the immediate day after both of those unfortunate occurrences, we also now, of course, find out about the untimely horrible death of Dusty Hill, the bassist of incredibly legendary Texan rock and boogie band ZZ Top. So another terrible loss for the rock and metal community. This obviously is an addition to the guitarist and keyboardist of the same band Cinderella, Jeff Labar and Gary Corbett. Horrible things to find out. Of course, we've also had the death of Robbie Steinhardt of Kansas fame, the violinist, and there is also the death of Biz Markie, the legendary rapper, who has unfortunately also passed away as well. So all horrible things. I'm so sorry to start off the episode on such a terrible note, but of course these things are important and should be acknowledged. And thoughts go out to all the friends, family and fans of all of these bands and individuals. Something else that's worth pointing out as well is that in addition to some of the further information on some of the local Midlands metal one-man bands that we have, And we went over some of those in the previous episode, and we're also going to go over some of those in this episode as well. But there is also a dungeon synth project which has been created by the minds behind Abduction. So stay tuned for more information on that, which I'll be going into later on, as soon as I figure out what they're called and give you some information on them. But that's really, really cool as well. Basically, some of the further information regarding the Abduction project is about to come towards you now. So, not only has, obviously, Abduction also done their most recent full-length album last year, All Pain is Penance, which I already mentioned last month, but also, since then, have also released a split album, also with a band called Nocturnal Prayer, which is basically called Intercontinental Death Conspiracies. And I haven't actually got around to listening to this myself yet, but it definitely is on my radar. Anyone interested in black metal or one-man bands or anything in between, definitely urge you to check that out. Furthermore, there is the sort of mysterious dungeon synth project related to Abduction, which I did briefly mention as well, which I should sort of give a little bit of information on as well, because as you know, being a dungeon synth artist myself, definitely pertinent to me and obviously fans of my band, and this is obviously a really, really incredible piece of musicianship and music as well. Really, really good arrangements on this. I've listened to this myself. I've really, really enjoyed it. So the album, or rather the EP, is called In Sullen Praise of Somnus, and it is the debut EP from the ethereal project known as Host, or spelt Hosste, by AV the Mind from Abduction. So definitely check that out, guys. It is a 3-track EP, two of those tracks both clocking in at over 9 minutes apiece. So if that intrigues you, definitely give that a look as well, guys. Alright, so before we start to delve into some of this month's juiciest topics, I thought I'd just briefly take a minute just to make everyone aware that at the moment there is a 50% off sale on all of Infernal Symphony's discography and recorded music on Bandcamp. So for those of you who aren't aware, please head to infernalsymphonyuk.bandcamp.com, where you can find and listen to all of the music that I've made available over the past 4 or 5 years. It's all free to listen to. Most of it is either available to download for free as well, or is available for a very reasonable price as a digital download copy in various incredibly good audio formats, lossless formats, and so on and so forth. There is also the Heathens Club option, which I haven't really promoted very much recently, but that allows you to subscribe for £3 a month to receive all of my music instantaneously, as well as anything else that I create. Comes straight into your inbox as soon as the second it's released, which is a brilliant, brilliant offer. I'm surprised more people haven't taken advantage of that, really, to be honest. As I mentioned before as well, something else new that we're available and that I'm offering now is the ability to have personalised video messages recorded for you, or your own bespoke, unique Infernal Symphony one-off track recorded and written by me, especially for you, for a very, very reasonable donation amount as well. So those two latter options are available on Linktree, which is linktr.ee/Infernal Symphony, where you can find that along with all of my other socials and internet social media presence as well. All right, so with all of the boring promotional stuff out of the way, let's sort of dive ourselves into what we're going to be going over this month. And I think it's probably easiest for me to get some of the smaller stuff out of the way to begin with. So just a couple of addendums I wanted to add onto the section I started last month about talking about some of the other local Midlands metal one-man bands, local one-man bands in the area. So I think I already went over Abduction, who obviously are doing incredibly well, and unfortunately the hiatus of Dark Doom was another talking point as well. Very, very good friend of mine, Alex Wills. It's such a shame that he decided to call time on the project for the foreseeable future. Something else that I did want to bring up, though, is that there is another incredible band which has only really been on my radar for the past 6 or 7 months as well. Although, as it turns out, they actually did have a song featured on the First Blood Midlands Metal One Man Bands compilation, and I, unfortunately, for some bizarre reason, completely ended up forgetting that it was on there. But this is a solo project by the name of Avulsion Rupture. And this is an incredibly awesome band, obviously a solo project, but a solo band, an incredibly awesome death metal band nonetheless. This is by a bloke called Paul Bobrucki. He's a really, really cool, interesting dude. Their music is somewhere in the sort of same sort of realm as maybe something like Immolation style type stuff, but obviously with a lot more of a raw focus on the black metal-esque side of things as well. I probably butchered that description, so really the best way of finding out exactly what these guys sound like is by checking out their music on their Bandcamp. They have a few incredibly good albums which have been coming out very, very slowly over the past decade or so they've definitely been going for a hell of a long time. And I'm just going to quickly do a brief bit of on-air research as to some of their album names, because they have some very, very good albums that I have checked out a little while ago, but they just have so many cool things on offer. In actual fact, the reason I'm talking about them is because of their most recent album release, which came out in May. So that, again, that is something which is another development which happened in between the end of the last season of this Pestilence podcast and the start of the new season, which obviously occurred this time last month. So their newest album, funnily enough, actually came out, or was scheduled to come out, at the exact same time as my very first proper post-digital audio workstation upgrade release that I mentioned last month, called Columns of Deformity. So I actually decided at the time to delay the release of my own album by a fortnight to enable this band, Avulsion Rupture, to have an incredibly good reception and no competition for their upcoming album, because it was their first album in about 2-3 years. So I didn't want to steal any of their thunder or anything, basically, because I have a lot of respect for this band. You know, Paul's done a fantastic job on all of his music throughout the years. So the new album that came out in May is titled Transmissions from the Dream Dimension, and I've personally listened to it all front to back several times. Fantastic, fantastic return to form, if you could call it that, because you know, you could argue that they never actually went away in the first place. But there's some fantastic songs on here. Another good reason I wanted to mention it also is because, as it turns out, this this album basically features a track 5 to be exact, which is actually a remake and a full-blown version of a track which was once a demo track, which was submitted for the First Blood compilation I mentioned earlier. And that track is called Wormhill. So it's quite unlikely that I normally would persuade you against listening to the First Blood compilation, but in this case, I absolutely have to, because the remake is absolutely amazing quality. I definitely want you to check this album out. So track 5, Wormhill, is obviously has its roots in a compilation that I myself kind of created, so that's pretty awesome. Obviously the rest of the songs on the album are absolutely brilliant as well. So definitely check that out, guys. It's got some really, really interesting unexpected twists on there as well. A few things which are a little bit unusual for the actual band in question, which is, it's nice to see them breaking some new ground and trying out some new stuff. So definitely check that out as well, guys. So I think that's some of the main omissions from last month taken care of, which is pretty good. So if any of you found any of that at all interesting, please, I urge you to check all of these bands out. And to make it a little bit easy for you as well, I'm just going to just remind everybody that you can obviously check out the First Blood compilation on Bandcamp. Quick Google search should find that for you. Alternatively, if you are active on Facebook, you can either navigate to my own band page for Infernal Symphony or search for the Midlands Metal One Man Band's Facebook page as well, which isn't quite as active as it once was. But having said that, we do have quite a few new members joining at the moment as well. And that's always a really good place to find out some of the newest updates and developments from some of the other local bands, as well as myself as well. I do tend to do a few posts myself on there as well. So if you at all you've got any remote interest whatsoever in creating your own music, writing music, promoting music, or if you're just a fan of any of these bands in particular, or if you just fancy a really cool metal-oriented community from the Midlands and the UK to talk to, we're all really friendly on there. None of us bite your heads off. So definitely come and check that out as well. Really good stuff there. The other good thing I was going to mention as well, which I almost didn't because I thought someone was about to come into work, but basically, something else to bear in mind as well is that, as I mentioned before, Infernal Symphony has begun its own Discord channel as well. So the plan for that basically is for us to be able to host textual, religious, gaming and just general debates on there in the future once we've got enough members. So if any of you fancy joining a new Discord channel, the link for that is on our link tree as well. It is fairly barren at the moment, if I'm being brutally honest, because I'm still trying to wrap my head around how to actually create an effective Discord channel. I've actually personally been fairly active on Discord over the past 12 months or so, because getting involved and engaged in religious debates with randoms is something that definitely gave me a lot of entertainment and intellectual education over the past 12 months, particularly when we were all in the midst of lockdown as well. You know, when you're trapped and confined to your own home, and you've only got so many games to play and only so many things to do, and you're still there for months on end, you have to find things to pass the time. So I've actually found that I've taken quite a liking to watching religious debates on YouTube, and obviously then partaking in them my own on my own time with my own knowledge that I've gained on Discord. So that's quite a weird thing. I imagine a lot of you probably wouldn't expect me to do that. But personally, I found it quite interesting. I've always had quite a deep appreciation for philosophy. It's always something that's very interested me, as well as history as well. And of course, religion's always been a pet hate of mine for various reasons. So it made sense for me to kind of bring all of that together. And obviously, that does coincide pretty well with the content of my music as well. So if anyone likes to debate, that's definitely a good place to check out. Speaking of which as well, it's also one of the motivations behind me writing and recording and basically, you know, performing vocals and lyrics at the moment as well. I did briefly go over some of the obstacles to that in the last episode of the podcast. So if you haven't listened to that and you've somehow come across this one, please go back onto the podcast list and check out the previous episode. But I think that's probably quite a nice segue into going into why I've finally decided to start doing vocals and lyrics on some of my albums as well. So for those of you who are already familiar with Infernal Symphony and you like our music up until this point, you will already know that we have pretty much, since the inception of the band, always, basically always held a flag for instrumental music, and we've always prided ourselves on our ability to create fantastic music that doesn't require vocals. So I can imagine a lot of you out there listening to this at the moment, scratching your heads and thinking, right, okay then, so why have you now decided to do lyrics? Is it just sort of a cheap, ploy for mainstream appeal potentially, or is it just a lack of ideas, or... And to be honest, it's none of those things, really. I suppose there's an element of me wanting to, always look for new inspiration and new features to sort of spruce up and freshen up my output musically. It's always something that intrigues me to do, to try and keep it fresh. But it's by no means a cynical ploy to try and reinvigorate the band. I think one thing that I have always strived to do with Infernal Symphony is to try and keep it very, very, not only very raw and, very honest, but also, keep its integrity as well. You know, there's a lot of bands out there that sort of do things the cheap way or, just kind of cut corners. And I'm not really against that in general, but for my own personal stuff, if I can do it the proper way, then I will. And that's partly why it's always been quite a struggle for me to kind of wrap my head around having to make music the way I do at the moment. Because obviously, you know me, guys, if I had my way and if I had all of the sort of resources, finances and time available that I would require for it, I would always perform every single instrument and section of my music completely analog and, from the heart with real instruments and real playing. Because at the end of the day, that's what we all prefer. Unfortunately, obviously, due to circumstances outside of my control, as I've gone into detail with a few times, I am sort of relegated and limited to doing things digitally with only digital, all digital instruments, which I suppose does make the process slightly easier in some respects, but in other ways it does make it very, very difficult as well. Particularly, as I went into previously, in terms of making dungeon synth music, because that was extremely limited in terms of the instruments and techniques I could pull off using that software. Which is kind of why some of those albums and songs did end up sounding quite similar to one another as we went on. So that is really something that did infuriate me, because that goes totally against all of my own musical principles in terms of what I want to create and put out there and what Infernal Symphony stands for and strives for. So that's why it was a really, really big boon to me to be able to discover the new solution for creating music, which I'm using now. And it has taken quite a long while to learn how to get it working and how to come to grips with it. So that said, as I've mentioned, some of those results are starting to become really promising, as we showed with Columns of Deformity, which seemed to do incredibly well for us. And as I mentioned already, the newest album that is currently taking shape at the moment is looking to be more of the same, but even better as well. So with that in mind, that's part of the reason why I wanted to add vocals into the mix, really, is basically to separate it as much as possible from Infernal Symphony's past music. While still retaining what makes the old stuff great, I just wanted to add a new spin on it, which makes it feel fresh, feel modern, feel a bit more of a reboot, instead of staying, stagnating or... basically just, as I say, one of my biggest fears musically is just regurgitating the same thing over and over again. I can't stand it when bands do that, and although there are quite a few decent bands that can manage to pull it off, such as, for example, your Accepts, your Slayers, your Iron Maidens, AC/DCs, they're very few and far between, and I suppose that is the mark of a good band, but for me personally, I suppose another element that comes into it that factors in is just, creative personal integrity as well. Like I would feel quite cheap and easy to be able to just do that. Like if it was me, I kind of in some ways see it as taking the easy way out, really, and that's not always something that I want to do. So with that in mind, I decided to add lyrics and vocals to some of the newest tracks I've been working on. And I suppose a good portion of that as well was also trying to come to terms with doing it and realising that, people that I don't know would be hearing my voice for the first time. And obviously it's quite a personal thing anyway. Any of you that have been performers or, people who have done karaoke or anything like that, I'm sure there was always at one point in time all of us remember that one first time where we got stage fright and, you know, we were really scared to have people listen to us sing, because it's a very personal thing. It's a thing that is very, very unique to us as individuals. You know, if you hear somebody playing guitar, it could be anybody, but most of the time there's no there's no possible way you can hear somebody's voice and mistake it for anybody else. So with all of that in mind, I decided to push forward and do it anyway, because I'm always, always a big proponent of trying to push myself to try new things, do new experiences. I always think that personal growth is a very, very good attribute that all of us should strive for. And it was also a brilliant way of me being able to give a big fuck you to all the people that have took the piss out of me, bullied me, degraded me over the years, even before I started making music. And just prove to them that I am capable of doing things on my own. I am capable of, you know, rising above my detractors and also growing and being more fulfilled as a person and being a little bit more sort of, how would I describe it? I'm a bit more at one with myself, shall we say. I'm at peace with who I am these days. So basically, to get all of that out of the way and stop me rambling for 20 minutes about something that makes no sense, I thought it would be a really, really cool thing to do. And the cool thing is, they are starting to sound very, very good now. So I am doing growled vocals on the upcoming album. As I mentioned before, there was some different variations of vocals on Columns of Deformity, probably on about 20% of the album. So, you know, I'd kind of dipped my toe in very, very gently. I can't really explain why. I think that was just the most easiest thing for me to do. It's what I felt the most comfortable with doing. But the goal at the moment is to gradually increase not only the quality and the prevalence of vocals, but also increase the amount of songs which feature vocals on each album as we go forward. So, you know, if you carry on listening to Infinite Symphony's music as the years go by over the next couple of years, I can pretty much guarantee to you that you will hear and experience not only more, but also incredibly better quality vocals as we go on. That is definitely my ambition. So, and you'll be able to get your first taste of that evolution in progress starting from September or October, when this new album does come out as well. So in terms of inspiration and themes for vocals, in actual fact, I've actually been a lyricist for a hell of a long while, much longer than I've been a vocalist, in fact, because obviously that is an extremely new thing that's happened in the past 6 months or so. As for writing lyrics, I mean, I've always been really interested in writing things in all forms, even, you know, outside of music, for as long as I can remember. I've always enjoyed writing music, I've always enjoyed writing poetry and stories. I was always commended in school from my teachers when I was a young child by English teachers and stuff for, you know, my good grip of the English language and for inventiveness, and not to toot my own horn too much, but it is something that I've always enjoyed doing in various forms. I actually attempted to write a fantasy novel about 5 or 6 years ago, but unfortunately lost all interest in it, and then also my draft basically got all but deleted apart from one very, very early on physical copy which I decided to create. So, yeah, so I never know, I might come back to that at some point in the future. But look at me getting distracted again. But yeah, so in terms of actually writing lyrics, it's something that I've been doing pretty much since I was about 16, 17 years old when I was in college. And I can't really fully remember, if I'm being honest, why I started doing it. I think it was something as silly probably as just having something fun to do to pass the time and practice to build my skills up for. Because I knew they would come in handy at some point in my musical career in the future. I just had no idea when. So, you know, any time I'd be waiting for a new, if I had a little gap in between subjects, or if I was waiting in line for lunch or what have you, I'd always be on my phone just typing away. And obviously my first, you know, poetry and song lyrics were absolutely terrible crap that I would never even dream of letting anyone see these days. As is often the case for everybody, of course. Whereas I think now, you know, 10, 12, 15 years on, I do believe they're at a point in time now where they are starting to get to a point where I would actually be quite comfortable with people witnessing them. And there are actually a few things which I have done and which I am currently writing, which I'm fairly proud of. So you never know. We'll just have to see where all of that goes. But I thought it was definitely the next logical step in terms of Infernal Symphony's evolution. As I said, we've gone from being a jam band that just basically recorded things and improvised them over a drum loop to a dungeon synth band. Something else which I actually forgot to mention last episode as well is that we did have a very brief flirtation as well with Synthwave as well, where I used what is called the Korg Chaosilator app, because that was basically my next step after using the Dungeon Synth software. I tried to figure out what the next step would be, and although it ended up not really sticking, I did end up creating three decent albums out of that. So I've already, I think, potentially mentioned those before, but in case anyone's interested to check that out, which is a bit of a massive departure from my usual musical fare, those three albums are available on Bandcamp, and they are titled Vermilion, Draconian Warfare, and Sinister Majesty, respectively. So all three of those form a cohesive trilogy of synthwave albums from beginning to end. That may potentially be the last time I dabble with synthwave. Maybe not, we'll have to see. You never know what the future holds, that's what I always say. But once I got those out of the way, that was when I actually ended up discovering software which I'm using now, which I'm much more happy with. It gives me a lot more freedom and flexibility to create exactly what it is that my crazy brain does come up with. And this is why I'm so sort of confident and so excited about the future, to be honest, guys, because this is finally, after 5-6 years of me committing to making my own original music on my own, this is the first time in all of that, numerous years, that I've actually been able to feel comfortable with the stuff that I'm using and feel like I'm actually capable of getting as close as possible to what I can hear in my head onto the screen and into your ears. So this is really, really, truly an exciting time. And that's why, again, another reason I've started up the podcast again, because I would love for all of you guys who have either been ardent Infernal Symphony fans and stuck with us through thick and thin, but specifically to those of you who have maybe checked out the odd album or two and then fallen away because you've maybe not liked the direction I've taken at some point, just know that a lot of those were not through choice. Although in some ways I have to give them credit and respect, because they have also helped me in their own little ways branch out and evolve as a musician, and also end up creating stuff that I may not have tried to do otherwise. So, I always try and stay positive about things, good and bad. Everything that has happened with Infernal Symphony, in one way or another, has ultimately ended up being a positive learning experience. So, with that in mind, the vocals and lyrics are really, really good. In terms of inspirations, some of my own personal vocalist inspirations, I suppose probably the most obvious ones to go over, the top three for me, would be David DeSanto, the current vocalist of new age thrash metal band Vector. Also as well, Randy Blythe from Lamb of God. Now, funnily enough, I'm not actually much of a personal fan of Lamb of God's music in particular, but Randy's delivery and tone of vocals is always incredible. So that's pretty much going to be, let's be honest, guys, he's one of those people who is just an inspiration and influence to pretty much most sort of growled vocal musicians these days. Whether you like him or not, he's just one of those people who is such at a high pinnacle of the industry that he's just an influence on people, just more or less by osmosis almost. Also as well, Dave Mustaine is a little bit of an influence, not in terms of my actual vocal style or the way it sounds, but more in terms of his lyrical content and the intelligence with which he and the wit he gives to his vocals and his lyrics. So that is also a bit of an influence in some ways as well. And another big influence as well is David Vincent of Morbid Angel. Now, for those of you who perhaps don't like some of David's personal either stylistic preferences or potentially his fashion choice, maybe some of the stuff that he's got up to these days with Illo Divinum Insanus, the terribly panned Morbid Angel album 15 years ago, or his most recent sort of country music as well he did a couple of years ago. Yeah, I think there's no forgiving of that, really, is there? There's nothing you can say that can kind of make any of that go away or feel better. But that said, you have to give him props. He is one of the pioneers of the death metal vocals, other than Chuck Schuldiner of Death and various others, such as Cam Lee from Massacre. For some reason, David's delivery and sound has always struck a chord with me. I think he was probably one of the gateway bands, Morbid Angel was, that got me into death metal initially about 5-6. That's way too early. Maybe about 10 years ago. I've always been a fan of David Vincent's, at least his vocals and his bass playing is very, very good as well. So if you'd like to hear what a weird conglomeration of all of those different vocalists and more sounds like all in one go, definitely make sure to check out the new Infernal Symphony album, as yet still untitled, which is going to be due to be dropping in September or October 2021. So stay posted to the podcast and the Infernal Symphony Facebook page for details on that. And now, unfortunately, it is time to go over some of the most recent metal news that's happened over the past 4 weeks or so. Speaking about musical inspirations, there has been some incredibly sad deaths that have occurred, I'm sorry to say, as we all probably by now know already. Obviously, the most important of which, and probably the biggest of which, is the untimely passing of Joey Jordison of Slipknot fame, and obviously with Murder Dolls and other projects as well. Joey was a fantastically phenomenal drummer. Obviously, I'm not going to be telling you anything you don't already know here. But, you know, it was one of those just massive, massive, colossus icons of the industry that it would just be remiss to not mention him at some point in the podcast. So, Joey, to be honest, Slipknot have never really been a massive inspiration to me. Obviously, I've heard the hits, the same as we all have, and, you know, I do appreciate and respect them for what they are. They never really did much for me personally. But I do know that a hell of a lot of people, particularly in my field, you know, in extreme metal, in death metal and, you know, all sorts of different forms of metal, he has been an absolutely massive inspiration, particularly for drummers, but also to just musicians and just fans of music in general. Fantastic, absolutely iconic drummer, a pioneer of getting things from the extreme metal spectrum, such as blast beats and, you know, extremely heavy metal drum fills and styles into the public eye and into the mainstream. So, you know, regardless of what your own personal opinion on Slipknot's actual music is, nobody can deny the sheer talent and the absolutely massive, you know, gaping hole in the industry that is going to be left in the wake of his untimely passing. So, rest in peace, Joey Jordison. Fantastic drummer, incredible human being, from what I can tell as well. It's yet to be seen as to the exact reasons for his demise, and obviously that's not really something that I'm particularly interested in going into anyway. But yeah, it truly is a sad loss for the industry, and we'll all be sorry to see him go. And it actually reminds me a little bit of, you know, I remember being in the crowd for Sonosphere Festival in about 2011 in the UK, and I remember that was the first time I actually saw Slipknot perform live, when Joey was actually still a member of the band at that point. And I was absolutely blown away by his drums, and even not being a particularly big you know, Slipknot fan, you know, you still got to give credit. I mean, you know, there's not many bands that can do what they did and get it to the levels of success that they managed. Yeah, it just really is a shame. And obviously, funnily enough, the actual performance that I saw Slipknot perform at the very first time I witnessed seeing them live, I've seen them two or three times live now, and despite me saying I'm not a massive fan of their music, they're always a good time to check out live. And obviously, Joey was a big part of that. And the first time I actually witnessed them play live was, unfortunately, I think probably one of the first concerts after Paul Gray had unfortunately died as well, ex-Slipknot bassist as well. So again, although he wasn't a specific influence on me, he's just one of those people, same as Joey, whose presence, you know, the shockwaves of his death were felt throughout the music and metal community. And that was a very, very somber performance there, where when I remember watching them play. You could feel it in the air, and I imagine that same sort of atmosphere is going to be present at any potential future Slipknot shows next year as well. So, yeah, huge, huge loss. Another loss that we need to talk about as well was that of Mike Howe. I'm not particularly familiar with Metal Church as a band. I've heard one or two of their songs before. I do know they're a very, very legendary classic band of the genre. And Mike Howe, as far as I'm aware, is one of the several vocalists that has been part of Metal Church over the years. I believe that as a band, they were quite a big influence on some of the earlier heavy metal and thrash bands, such as Metallica, Megadeth, other bands of that ilk, such as Saxon, Winger, and all kinds of bands. So Mike Howe has unfortunately also passed away at the age of 55 as well. Both of these, extremely sad passing away deaths, they're just so out of the blue and so unexpected. And, you know, you can tell just the big sense of community and passion for not only the music, but the people involved in creating that music that the metal community has as a whole, from just the sheer amount of positive responses from people regarding these news events. Mike Howe, I think, unfortunately, is actually the second of two vocalists for Metal Church that have died recently, and that is such a terrible, terrible shame. So yeah, rest in peace to both of these incredible greats of an industry which I hope to be a bigger part of someday. So with that unfortunate sad news out of the way, I actually do believe it is once again already somehow managing to get close towards the end of this second episode of season 2 of the Pestilence podcast. Before we go, I've got a quick few little things I want to touch upon as well, just to tidy up on what we've been talking about this episode. First of which is the Twitch channel, which I mentioned I would briefly go over. So basically, Inferno Symphony has a brand new Twitch channel, which is obviously available on Twitch. If you go to twitch.tv/Infernal Symphony, you can catch me whenever I go live. I am starting to get a little bit of a schedule set up for it at the moment, although it is sort of quite easy to fluctuate with it at the moment because I'm still trying to get my head around how to fit it into my already massively busy schedule. But it is definitely something I really enjoy doing. I love playing games already, and it's even better to share that with you and with Infernal Symphony fans. So come down and come join the party whenever you notice me go live. If you're already a member of Twitch, feel free to follow the Infernal Symphony Twitch channel. You can find links to it from our Linktree, Facebook page, other places as well. I tend to play a hell of a lot of awesome games on there, and occasionally also go live with just chatting as well, where I will give you updates on stuff that is going on that's pertinent to me and the band. Although obviously if you're already listening to this podcast, you probably get the skinny on those in a bit more detail anyway. But if you fancy coming in, you know, having a chill with me, checking it out, having a little chat with me and the other members of the slowly growing but really, really friendly Twitch community for Inferno Symphony as well, feel free to come over and check that out. I also stream a hell of a lot of different games on there as well, as I mentioned before, including games such as 7 Days to Die, Borderlands 3. I also have started to do a regular thing with the Doom franchise, which is one of my favourite game series of all time. I've started to work my way slowly through the campaigns and DLC for each of the mainline Doom series, so you can check me out doing that every Tuesday evening at around about 8 or 9 o'clock GMT. I'm currently doing the master levels of Doom 2 and trying to get the trophy for completing all of those. So if you find that exciting, come over and check it out. I'd be more than happy to welcome you in. There's also some really good streamers that I've been watching lately who I'm also a big supporter of. One of which is called Caitlin H. Smith. She's a really, really brilliant streamer who started at the start of this year. And she's currently doing a playthrough of Elder Scrolls IV Oblivion for the first time. And that is a fantastic, one of my all-time favourite games. I've been heavily glued to that. So please make sure you check her out as well as some other amazing streamers such as Yao Asakura. He's been doing some Call of Duty Warzone streaming. And all of these are quite new streamers as well. So Caitlin's doing pretty well for herself, but some of the rest of us are still trying to, you know, make a little bit of a dent in the massive Twitch algorithm. So if you'd like to come on over and check that out, I'd hugely appreciate it. I'm currently on the road to 50 followers at the moment because I'm really trying to achieve affiliate status on Twitch, which would enable me to make a little bit of a pocket money income from it, which is not really the main goal of it, but as you can imagine, with everything I've already talked about with the podcast and with the band, you know, I do all of this myself. Money is always tight and time is as well, as it is. So any little bit of help in any way will always make life a little bit easier for me and enable me to make much better and higher quality music in the future. That's what it's all about, guys. So yeah, come over and check that out. I'd really, really appreciate it, and I'm sure you guys will find something to enjoy there as well. Quick few other little things I wanted to mention as well. In terms of me writing lyrics, I've actually been doing it throughout my music career, as I touched on earlier. And I really got my first sort of start with it while I was writing lyrics for Sickened. Unfortunately, due to the way that band worked, none of those lyrics ever got recorded, kind of collaborated into any of the songs, or in fact got heard by anyone live because of the, you know, incredible procrastination that that band suffered from. So there's another reason why I'm immensely excited to finally crack on with getting these done. I'm currently working on some of the songs for the upcoming second post-upgrade release album at the moment as we speak. There's some fantastic stuff coming out there. So I please would definitely love it if you come and check that out and check out my vocals and have a read of my lyrics. I'll be sure to put all of the lyrics on each of these tracks on Bandcamp for you to be able to read. So that'd be all good. And I think that's pretty much all we've got time for now today, guys. Unfortunately, it has really, really flown by this month. So thank you very much, so much to all of you who have checked out this second episode. If you have enjoyed it, please remember to like it, subscribe to it, find it and follow it on Spotify if you can, or wherever you get your good podcasts from. Please share this to your friends if you think they'll enjoy it as well. Obviously, check out all the socials and the Bandcamp as well. I would really appreciate any and all support you give. And I know I don't really have to ask for it because you guys always give this to me anyway. But, it's always good to remind those of you who are out there who are perhaps bored to tears by what you've been listening to. So thank you so much, guys. It really has been good. And I'm so excited to see what the next month and the future holds, not only in store for Inferno Symphony's music, but just for this massive, amazing community we're starting to build in general. It really is awesome. I like to get to know my fans personally. I like to have a really, really good, positive, strong personal connection with each and every one of you if I can. So don't be afraid to reach out as well. If you're listening to this on Anchor, you can send in your voice messages via the Anchor website and I will feature any and all of those on the podcast in future installments. For those of you who are part of bands, either in the Midlands One Man Metal Bands page or just random musicians that happen to be wind up listening to this, if you do enjoy the podcast and you'd like to give your band or anything else you've got working on a plug on the show, or you just like to have a nice chat with me or an interview, I'm always happy to schedule any of those as long as you can use the Anchor app and do this with me. So for any requests like that, please feel free to message me on Facebook or send me an email as well. So thank you so much, guys. This about wraps it up for episode 2. Next month, we're going to be looking at some of the coronavirus pandemic and some of the impact that's had on the music industry, as well as some of the conspiracy theories regarding vaccines and stuff like that, which, as you can probably imagine, given my philosophical leanings, I really do not agree with any of that at all. I think it's a big load of tosh and absolute bullshit. So if that is a bit of a hot take for you and that sounds interesting, please make sure to check out the next episode, which will be coming out at the start of September. So until next time, guys, I've been Demonic Bishop. This has been the Infernal Symphony Pestilence podcast, and you guys have been amazing as always. Until next time, goodbye and thanks very, very much.